Kids are almost, or often, most vulnerable. Kids are often most vulnerable to the major issues we face, yet they're rarely given the chance to advocate for themselves or to tell their stories. A new docuseries from Sesame Workshop, that's the educational nonprofit behind Sesame Street, hopes to provide that much-needed platform. Through Our Eyes, which premieres on HBO Max today, is a four-part series following American children as they navigate unimaginably difficult and yet all too common circumstances. Each 30-minute episode focuses on a different challenge: having an incarcerated parent, climate change displacement, the long-lasting effects of war, and homelessness. True to its title, Through Our Eyes empowers its young subjects to share their stories in a way that both educates and provides support to viewers in similar situations. It's also designed so that parents and kids, say, age 9 and up, can watch the show together. Joining us now to discuss the series are Sesame Workshop's Executive Vice President for Creative and Production, Kay Wilson Stallings, and Emmy Award winner Christy Jacobson, who directed the third episode in the series. Christy, Kay, welcome to All of It.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Kay, this is Sesame Workshop's first ever docuseries. What was the spark of inspiration that, you know, made it happen?
Right. So in all of our content, you know, we look at issues and stories and subjects through a child's perspective, and we strive to tackle those most pressing needs. And with Through Our Eyes, it gave us the opportunity to expand into the non-scripted area while staying within our expertise. So presenting non-scripted content from a child's point of view is something that's rarely seen, and it's something that we believe that we're uniquely able to bring to the space.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, about, let's say, Sesame Workshop's mission and how this particular project fit into that mission.
Yes. So Sesame Workshop's mission is about helping kids grow smarter, stronger, and kinder. And we think that this series delivers in all three. The goal of Through Our Eyes is to really shine a light on some of those really tough and most pressing issues that we know that kids, unfortunately, are facing today. Mm-hmm. And that our hope is that, you know, kids and older kids and adults can come to understand and empathize with and even advocate for change for some of those that are in these crisis situations. And for kids and families who are directly impacted by these issues, it's important for them to see that they're not alone and there's support and resources out there available to them.
You know, the series did explore some really, as you said, difficult and often overlooked topics. So how did you decide on these four topics out of everything else that could have been decided on?
Right. Well, you know, when we looked at what kind of topics we wanted to discuss, because like you said, there's so many issues out there that we could have focused on. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we looked at our Sesame Street and Communities content, which is an initiative that we started back in 2017 that provides free resources to adults and parents and educators and caregivers on some of those most difficult issues that kids are facing today. So many of those issues that we've discussed and explored through Sesame Street and Communities are the ones that we focused on in this docuseries.
You know, each episode, as you well know, follows three different children. And when I was watching, I've only seen one of the episodes. And what struck me about the three children in that episode was how articulate and compassionate and empathetic and just really present they were for kids who were 9, 10 years old. How did you find these kids?
Well, we relied on our really terrific filmmaking teams that we worked with, who have such great, you know, they've got such a great deal of experience. And in some cases, many of these filmmakers have worked on topics, these very, very topics. And they just, we partnered with these filmmakers because of their expertise and because we knew that they had such passion and thought and care and to bring to the table. And we wanted to look for filmmakers like Christy, who really we knew could really approach these issues in a way that is how we wanted to be presented and that could really make sure to bring these kids' voices front and center.
Now, you have made it clear that this series was designed to be watched with parents and children together. How did you ensure that all the ages would be able to understand and more importantly, feel a connection to these stories?
So the series is, it is a co-viewing series. We're expecting that kids who are about 9 years old and up are watching it with a parent. And we also have provided resources for parents and caregivers and the adults in these kids' lives so that they could engage in conversations. So after they watch it, we want them to have conversations and we want them to explore the topics more deeply. But by having kids who are in that same age group as our audience who will be watching, that's very helpful because then the kids themselves, as you said, are very compelling and they're so articulate and they're just these wonderful little beings. It's good for our audience then who can relate to them and who can see kids who are just like them from an age point of view, but that also are dealing with situations that maybe they themselves as an audience member is experiencing or maybe not. But we really wanted to make sure that there was a connection with the kids. And I think that, you know, kids and adults that are watching and hearing these young people's stories they're just so compelling and they're going to draw them in. It's like their voices and their lived experiences are what is what draws the audience in.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sesame Workshop's Executive Vice President, Kay Wilson Stallings, and we're going to be talking with Christy Jacobson, an Emmy Award winner who directed the third episode in the series, Through Our Eyes. It premieres on HBO Max today. Christy, let's take a little dive into Homefront. That's the episode you directed about a few of the 3.4 million American children living with veteran or service member parents who rely on caregiver support. So there were the three families. How long did you follow these families? And what was the most, I guess impactful is the word I'm looking for, thing that you learned or experienced during your time with them? What stands out to you?
To answer your first question about how long we spent with them, I think this is obviously a really interesting time, right? We made these films during the pandemic. So we met our families virtually, or you know, on video calls, and began to build a relationship with them that way before we actually filmed with them in person. Filmmakers obviously connect with people in real life. That's what we do.
Right.
And so I think all of us were a bit anxious about that proposition, but we were able to really. So that then leads to your question, which is what impacted me so profoundly. Was when we got on the ground and met these kids and their incredible siblings and parents, how open they were in terms of sharing their feelings and their experience, and how kind of deeply we all connected in a short period of time when we were together in the same place, and obviously their resilience.
Oh, the resilience, just that stood out to me as the viewer more than anything. One of those kids who was so resilient and so sweet was 8-year-old Luther. His dad lost his leg in an IED explosion, and he now lives with chronic pain. We have a clip from this show. It's a moment where Luther and his dad, Joe, talk about why Joe needs a break while they work on a construction project together.
So we'll have to do two more of those.
Oh, okay.
But not right now.
Do we have to finish this tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. We just need a little bit of a break. You know why your dad has to take a break, right?
How's your leg?
Sometimes I have to take a break because then I can do more later. You're always really understanding of that, and I appreciate that, buddy.
And we learn that Luther struggles with how his dad can't do things with him whenever he wants. These kids are so young, and it's got to be really hard for them to understand what their parents have been through. So how do these veteran parents try to explain the situations to their kids?
I think that what's both special about these three families and also hopefully true of many families, veteran families, is the importance of talking about it, of talking about our feelings, of talking about the experience. And, you know, Terry's mom and dad, Taniki and Brandon, Gabby's mom and dad, Jorge and Jessica, and you just heard Joe speaking with Luther, like, really put center talking about their kids' feelings and talking about their own experiences, so that, you know, they're really, it really is as much about, you know, the wounds of war as it is about trauma and mental health and recovery, and really kind of making those things okay to talk about in the family, and in some cases, as you know, these kids are advocating even beyond their families.
So let's talk about that kind of advocacy. I mean, what kind of resources are out there to help these families, and what kind of support do they really, really need?
Well, I think I just want to say that it's such it's so important that Sesame Workshop is putting these stories out there, not just about obviously the military caregiving and these kids, but parental incarceration and climate displacement and homelessness. But in the case of these kids, what we noticed is, like, there aren't as many organizations, right, that are specifically helping kids. There are organizations set up to help veterans, right? And so there are these tremendous organizations. We met some of these families through, for example, Hidden Heroes and the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, Wounded Warriors, America's Vet Dogs, but also Sesame Workshop, together with our partners, Shine Global, and the various amazing families in this film. We have resources also available through Sesame Workshop for these kids and their families, which I think is really important.
Was there anything you were kind of surprised to learn while you were making this film?
Yes, I think that how many people are impacted by war. As we were making this film, my producer, who was in the field together with me, Netsanit Negusi's mother, was a soldier in the Eritrean War of Independence. Our producer at Shine Global, Alex Blaney's sister's husband, was deployed to active duty while we were in production. Our DP, Stephen Bailey, was filming in Iraq and Kuwait. Our editor, Faisal Asim's cousin, is in the U.S. Army, and his uncle was a pilot in the Pakistani Air Force. My nephew is enlisted in Ranger training. So this was both really important in terms of, you know, the importance of perspective on our filmmaking team, but
sure,
also just shows how many of us are, you know, in the U.S. and around the world, are affected by war.
What do you wish more people knew about the experiences of veteran families having gone through this this production?
I hope that people learn from this, again, like that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to talk about how hard it is to want your mom to do this and maybe she can't, or your dad to do this. And that, you know, I think that Brendan and Terry showed us it's okay for men to cry. It's okay for boys and girls to feel and talk about it, and for families to create those spaces.
I'm Carrie Nolan. I'm filling in for Allison Stewart today on All of It, and we're speaking with Kay Wilson Stallings, Executive Vice President for Creative and Production at Sesame Workshop, and Christy Jacobson, who directed an episode of the new docuseries Through Our Eyes, which premieres today on HBO Max. We're going to continue our conversation after we duck out for a quick break. Stay with us. It's All of It on WNYC. I'm Carrie Nolan, sitting in for Allison Stewart. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Kay Wilson Stallings. She's the Executive Vice President for Creative and Production at Sesame Workshop, and director Christy Jacobson. There is a new docuseries that the Sesame Workshop has produced called Through Our Eyes. It premieres today on HBO Max. And we're just having a conversation about this very important series that looks at children and the situations that they go through with parents who are incarcerated, with parents coming home from war areas, with climate migration, a lot of things that, that small children you wouldn't think have to deal with, but they do. Let's talk to with you, Kay. Let's jump back to the first episode. It's called Apart, and it focuses on the experiences of children who have a parent in prison. The episode starts with the statistic that one in 14 American children will experience this. So we meet 10-year-old Lyric, and she talks about her fear that no one would want to be friends with her once they found out that her father was in prison. So what's the social effect of the stigma that these kids are dealing with? And how does that impact their development during this really crucial point in their lives?
Well, I'm sure, I mean, it does have an impact. And one of the things that we get to hear from Lyric about is that she struggled for you know, quite some time in her young life about having her father in prison for more than 8 years and how it affected her friendship. She was afraid to engage with other children because she felt that when they knew or found out about her father, that that would have some kind of an impact on their relationship. And she's now come to this realization at the young age of 10 that, you know, you can't judge other kids based on what their parents did. And one of the other children that's featured in that incarceration documentary as well, he talks about his relationship with his mother. His mother has been in prison since 2014. He's 10 years old. And he talks about how he loves her and how sweet she is. And that even though your parent did a bad thing, it doesn't make them a bad person. And so just to see and hear through these kids, you know, own words, how they're, you know, impacted and how, you know, then to get to see how their families are working to really help to provide that support and that stability that, that they need.
How are these families able to maintain a connection? You know, some of these, as you said, some of these kids have had their parents incarcerated since they were 4 or 5 years old.
Well, what we see in the documentary that there's, you know, phone visitation, there's, you know, phone calls, and they're able to go and visit their parents on occasion, and the support that's around getting them there, because that's not something always easy to be able to travel. You see, you know, Nadia getting up early in the morning to travel to see his mother. And so it's a challenge, but it's something that the parents and the folks that are still family members that are helping to support these children are doing to help make sure that those connections remain and that those relationships remain intact.
Now, the next episode, number 2, is called Uprooted, and that tackles climate change by showing the effects of climate-related disasters on two families in Texas and in Iowa. Now, we hear a lot about the effects climate change could have in the future, but it's, you know, it's spoken about an awful lot like it's only a future problem. How does the episode expose the impacts that climate change is already having right now?
Yeah, so this Uprooted is really focusing on climate displacement. And we meet two families who have been affected by climate change. We meet siblings Emma and Leo, and they live in Iowa with their family. And they live on a farm that has been in the family for generations and generations. And the family is now on the verge of losing their farm due to climate change. And then we meet another family, Mariah, and her family are currently living in a motel in Texas as their home was destroyed during a hurricane, and now they're waiting for that home to be rebuilt. And so it's really, and you know, seeing what is happening with these children's lives, like climate change is something that is impacting, you know, everyone, and to see how it's personally, literally being brought home in these families' situations is just really eye-opening.
In that episode, we find out that since 2016, there have been more than 6.5 million climate displacements in the United States. That is a huge number. And marginalized communities are facing the greatest consequences. You know, whether you're a filmmaker or a journalist or a radio host or a politician, you know, we're all storytellers, and these are important stories to tell. How can we make our messaging better to ensure that climate change is finally seen as a serious and immediate threat?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think starting with telling these kind of personal stories that really relate to home, because, you know, that's something that everyone can relate to. And to see that these children's lives are literally being uprooted as a result of these, you know, severe impacts of climate change, that seeing how that's, you know, face, you know, real life, real time, how they're being impacted and how they're literally being uprooted, I think that's a good start, because people can then see and hopefully relate to what would you feel like if something happened with your home? What would you feel like if your, you know, livelihood and something that's been in your family for generations was suddenly, you know, taken away from you because of the impacts of climate change?
You know, the thread of displacement sort of leads directly to a discussion about homelessness. Episode 4 is it follows three families experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles, which is facing a chronic housing shortage and a homelessness crisis in large letters. There are an awful lot of negative stereotypes about unhoused people. And this episode really combats many of those. We have a clip now from Martha, who is mother to 10-year-old Victoria, and she's talking about the different ways people experience homelessness.
I feel like a lot of people see homeless people as have this stereotype that they're living on the streets in tents. Just the fact that there's so many different levels of being unhoused or housing stability and the stress that most people are even a paycheck away from being without a home.
I didn't do that.
We were sleeping on the floor at a friend's house, and it was really crowded, small space. So we went from place to place living really out of our bags, and would take public transportation, sometimes a lift, to go to other people's houses, carrying all our belongings in bags. My lowest point as a mother, I feel, was when we were couch surfing. There was nobody to help me, so I needed to figure out how to help myself.
So what myths does this episode debunk about homelessness?
Well, I think that, as that clip showed, it's anybody can be, many, many people could have and be impacted with homelessness, with just being one paycheck away. One of the other stories in that episode focuses on a woman and her son who they're living in her car because she left an abusive relationship and didn't have any place to go. And so I think what it really shows that, you know, you hear just like Martha said, many, many people in this country are literally one paycheck away from, you know, being without a home and without a roof and without the things that we need to survive.
Christy had mentioned that filming was done during the pandemic. And you see subjects putting on masks and logging into Zoom classes. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, you know, on top of everything else, there's a pandemic going on. How did COVID impact the subjects and the unhoused people in general?
Well, it was just one added burden. It was one other thing that they needed to deal with. So it was, you know, whether they were looking for housing, whether they were looking for employment, whether they were looking for treatment, it was just one extra challenge that they needed to deal with. In one of the stories, Jessica talks about, you know, being put on hold endlessly as she was trying to get through to, you know, service care providers. And part of that was that they were low staffed because of people being out because of COVID. So it's just like one added barrier to all the other challenges that they had, that they were already facing.
That's amazing. Looking back on Through Our Eyes in its entirety, what do each of you want families to take away from this series? Christy, I'll start with you.
I hope that when people watch the series on the whole, they see this through line of the resilience of kids, and that, like, you can be feeling two things at once. You know, it can be really hard, and you can also be feeling joy, and to find those moments of joy and also talk through those hard feelings, hopefully the the series, you know, creates some space for both of those things. I felt really, although the subjects are really hard, I think that my fellow filmmakers did such an extraordinary job in capturing hopefulness also amidst the struggle.
And Kay, how about you?
In a similar, Christy, you know, in a similar way with Christy, I think the biggest, a couple of things is, you know, one, as challenging and heart-wrenching some of these stories are with these kids, it's really good to see that there is hope and that they're so resilient and just see the strength in these children and that, you know, to see that they do have, you know, this immense amount of hope for what's to come. And I also want, you know, parents and kids to just develop an understanding and empathy, because I think so often people can see a situation and think that I don't know anybody, that doesn't affect me, I'm not going to lean in. And what we're hoping to do is that kids and families will lean in and develop that understanding. And again, you know, maybe find a way that they can be advocates. And then also for the kids who themselves are going through it, so that they see their stories and see that they are not alone and that there are others that are going through the same kinds of challenges. And hopefully that will be that will encourage them and give them hope as well.
Through Our Eyes is available today on HBO Max, and you can find numerous helpful resources related to the issues presented in the series at sesameworkshop.org. I've been speaking with Kay Wilson-Stallings. She's the Executive Vice President for Creative and Production at Sesame Workshop, and Christy Jacobson, who directed an episode of this new docuseries. Thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.